finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two in full effect. Come on and get involved. 844-843-6879 are the telephone numbers here for Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin. Now, again, we're going to find out where JP is going tonight. Beautiful pick last night. Milwaukee Bucks was the right play. Got the win. Move on. Now we're going with a side tonight, which we have to decide if it's going to be the Sixers-Nets game, the Kings-Warriors game, the Suns-Clippers. I think it is going to be Kings-Warriors, and I do think it is going to be the Warriors. That's where I'm going.
I don't ever do this, because I don't, I have to, I think you're right. Yeah. I'd be lying if I gave you a different answer. This feels like a classic JP spot. I also, I think JP's a big Steph guy. Could be wrong, but I think he's a big Steph guy. I just think he's, I think he's back on the Warriors here laying the number.
Yeah. What do you got, JP?
Kings money line.
Oh, what? Come on. That's not even a side. Side should be the minus numbers, plus numbers.
No,
that, he's just throwing us way off.
No,
he should have said money. You should have said money line. That would have got feisty.
If he did that, you would have known it was a dog.
No way. It would have been the Sixers.
What are you talking about? You wouldn't lay minus 190.
We just talked about with Dave. Like, look, you know, pros are going to lay juice when juice is warranted. I thought JP might have gone that route. So we got money line Kings. Now, see, here's what I like. I just told the people, and so did Kevin, like, I think the Warriors win and win going away tonight. But, again, if I wake up tomorrow and say Kings 133, Warriors 128, and just ballistic fireworks all night long, it would be hilarious to me. I would love it.
Okay, so hilarious, sure. But I would be surprised, right? Like, you know, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised. But I would be, if the Warriors do not win this game at home, I would be very surprised.
I would be, too. Yeah,
I feel like some of the way people are talking is like, oh, man, the Kings are wiping the floor with them. No, they're not. No, they're not. They won by, what, 11 points to two games combined? And the first game they won by three with a great chance to tie the game a couple of times. Golden State there. I fully expect the Golden State Warriors to win this game here. I would be very surprised if they don't. I don't know if the 6 points are going to matter because, again, the games can be close. But if Golden State doesn't win, really, this should be 2-2. I bet over 5.5 games. There's no reason that this is not a 2-2 series when we head back to Sacramento.
Like, people are going to be on Rakuten all night long after the game, K-Dub? Is that what's going to happen out there in Warrior Nation? They're just going to start shopping?
Need value.
And by the way, you'll like this. Without telling you the story here, over the weekend, the Phillies had the golden thumb.
Yeah.
And I went on Amazon. I bought it. And it came, and it's like I was going to be so excited for it to be glorious. And I open it up, and isn't the thumb broke off of it?
No, stop it.
In shipping. Now, when I was reading on Amazon with the thumb that I brought, and again, what are you talking about, a thumb? The Phillies have a home run celebration or whatever where they have, you know, Bryce Harper's holding up a gold thumb. I thought it was hilarious. I go right to Amazon. It's like, there's one left, and I bought it. So, again, it was broken, but I was reading through some of the things where, like, every other complaint, it wasn't that much. It was like $40. It was 10 inches and, like, gold. It's it looked, like, really nice, and it actually is a decent thing. But, you know, Amazon people just throwing that thing around in the truck, you know what I mean? Because every other comment was like, hey, got mine broken. I'm like, oh, no. So it was in the mailbox. Like, it wasn't where they dropped this one off on, like, my doorstep. So I picked it, and I heard like a little rattle, and like, I know exactly what's going to happen here. So, of course, I go back and say, okay, I want my refund. It's like, okay, you can refund and send it back, or you can refund and like just get a new one. So I said, let's get a new one. I'm not, you know, whenever it comes. June 1st, because so many people probably ordered the stuff that it's now on back order for well over a month here. So I actually made the right move watching the Phillies game on Sunday where they just started something going, I know where this is going to go. There's going to be a run on these things. Because all it takes is like 1,000 Phillies fans to watch. Like, oh, my bro, Harper's got a gold thumb. Hilarious. I need to get one just to have it. And I did it. And when I did it, Kevin, it said there's one left. And I got it. I'm like, yeah, I got that. But did I really get that? So,
but what did you type? Like Phillies gold thumb? You bought a gold thumb?
No, just like, yes.
Anywhere?
Like gold thumb. Like thumbs. It was actually, I typed in like thumbs up gold. And like a couple of them showed up. So he tried to narrow it down to try to see like the type of one he got. Like there's a paperweight one, but it looks like he holds like the bottom part in his hand and it goes over like his sweatshirt. So it looks like he's just has a golden thumb. And that's the one I got. And I was like, oh, I'm going to put it in the background. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah.
And of course it was broken. And it goes, estimated delivery date, June 1. I'm like, yeah, there goes that for fun.
But now don't you also, like if this thing comes back broken again,
oh, my goodness.
Cancel at that point, or you think you got to keep going, you're in?
I think I'm invested in it at this point. Now, granted, now, Bryce Harper probably has, like, a bronze thumb at that point, or, like, a fist or something like that, so you're already on it. But the fun was going to be, it's new, it's catching on, let me get it. It's not like, hey, remember the Eagles were wearing the dog masks as underdogs? Oh, just got mine in the mail today! Like, well, you know, you sort of missed the wave on that of a lot of fun, so...
Did you get a dog mask when that was going down?
No, I did. They were sold out everywhere. Like, you would have to pay, like, $300 on Amazon to get a Fugazi one. Yeah, like, they were gone. Like, Lane Johnson puts it on. It's like, roof, roof, roof. But I wasn't going to necessarily get one. But I always like to look and say, like, oh, you know what? Where are you getting these from or something like that? Or he mentioned it. And they were gone. Like, I mean, eBay had it for, like, $500. Like, what? Because that's how wild it gets when probably one guy had 20 and Lane Johnson got one and then 30,000 want to get one.
So Lane sold shirts for, it says Home Dogs, and it's a photo of him and Chris Long.
Yes.
And I bought two of them because it was going to charity, but they only sent me one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like got too lazy in the email exchange, so one of them is just, I never got, but I at least
did. By the way, I did get the underdog jersey with the dog with the collar on it that was official from the Eagles, so we were all buying in. Come on back to Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on the grid. 844-843-6879. Phone lines are open. It's Donnie and Kevin here in the afternoon on Moneyline. 1-0, by the way. Quick update in Major League Baseball. Bottom of the third inning, the Sox have that lead. Coming up next at 4:06. So we still got about 2 hours to go. That's the Angels and the Yankees today. -158 favorite here. Nestor Cortez and the Yankees over Sandoval and the Los Angeles Angels. All right. You ready for this one, Kevin?
Let's hear it.
Every once in a while, we get blessed by the gods. And, you know, sometimes I rifle around certain different websites just to see what's going on. Anything has been updated. You ready for this one? Here we go. And I'll read the headline, and we can have fun. Tom Brady doesn't entirely rule out unretiring again to play for the Dolphins. Give me your first take on that. That's a story. That's right now within the last hour.
Unsurprised, I guess. I think that would be my initial reaction is unsurprised because I always think he wanted to go to Miami and I just don't
did.
He has no idea. He doesn't seem to know how to get there, and it probably doesn't help that they don't seem to be willing to move on from Tua in exchange for Tom.
But am I reading this as? And sometimes we don't get all the information behind the scenes. Is this a thing where the Miami Dolphins go, you know, we're not going to move on from Tua. We want him to be our quarterback for a long time. But Tom, just stay in a little bit of shape here. By week two, we might be calling you. Because where are you going if you're the Dolphins? The Dolphins have a Super Bowl caliber team. Not to say, again, they're going to get to the Super Bowl or even win two playoff games to make it to the AFC Championship. You get what I'm saying? That's a team that if they went to the Super Bowl next year, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, never in a million years would I see that coming. They're really talented. They're a quarterback playing well away from being a very good AFC contender. Is this one where, you know, he can't keep everything like under wraps where they're literally telling him behind, hey, you know what? We're going to need an option and we can't just go make a trade in week seven for a legitimate starter. We would like to have you if that's the case.
I think the issue with that, though, is Tom had at least, if not still does, but I know for sure had options beyond Miami. It's not a situation where, look, Miami's the only team even remotely interested, right? And we know how, you know, teams pop up throughout the course of a season. So I think my question, too, is not as much about Miami calling him and saying, hey, stay ready. Are we basically at the point now where all Tom Brady wants to do is play for the Miami Dolphins, and that's it, and he just can't, like, get them to basically move off of Tua for him at this point?
Like, he would just, if he had his way, they would have already moved off, and he would have been the starter there. But then
basically,
also, like, the Buccaneers, like, technically still hold his rights. Like, when you retire, it's not like, well, I had two more years with the – let's just say you had two more years with the Bucs. You don't retire and then come back in 3 years like, well, my contract is up. Like, the contract is basically in perpetuity for you. If you're retired, it doesn't matter, but you can't come – then, okay, but you're coming back, good. We got you for two more years then at that point. I would love to see him be like, hey, you know, I'm going to Miami. The Bucs go, yeah, we need a first-rounder. Like Sean Payton. You're still under contract with us. Yeah. You're going to have to sit at least another year here. Not, well, you're going to give up compensation.
I don't know what Tampa would want to do in that scenario. I don't know about Miami and in terms of, you know, how aggressive they would want to be. So I guess this is the question then. And I know where you're going to land on this, but I'm going to still ask it. Do you think Miami is making the right decision by choosing Tua over Tom?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because he's a better quarterback than Tom Brady is right now. I'd rather, if they're both healthy on the field, give me Tua all day long over Tom Brady right now. He just can't move anymore. And in that offense for Miami, it's got wheels all over the place. Tua showed when he was healthy, that offense was fun. It was moving the football and ready to go. If I was getting a 36-year-old Tom Brady, no-brainer. But Tom Brady right now, no, he's not as good as Tua Tagovailoa is.
So, I mean, the mobility stuff with Tom is obvious, but that's also been the case for a while. Brady's, I mean, does he still have a stronger arm than Tua? I think so. The weaponry obviously is phenomenal there, and Mike McDaniel's excellent. The thing is, are the Dolphins a quarterback away? I don't really know if that's, they're maybe the right quarterback away, but I think it's fair to question, are they Tom? The issue is, does Tom really have long-term viability? I'm not moving off, because I know you could turn around and say, well, I don't know if Tua does, but I'm not moving off of Tua for something that's not long-term viable. If you're the Dolphins and you want to make the bold decision to give up on Tua, it has to be for Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's the obvious fit. It's the obvious answer if you're moving off of Tua.
Yeah, because I guess they're just in that way in which we're, hey, if it works out with Tua, we're not worried about it, but if something goes wrong injury-wise, concussion-wise, you can't really just backpedal in the middle of the season. Like, okay, we're going to trade for somebody's backup quarterback to come in and learn the playbook and get after it. But if you had, again, I don't think Tom Brady's all that great anymore. But week 9, Tua goes down and you're 7-2. Like, if Brady was working out and steps in, been there, done that, I could run this offense, I got respect around the room, I might not be the best fit here, but at least we'll be competent and the guys will trust, hey, man, we got Brady. Like, there's something about just him being around that raises the professionalism. So I wouldn't mind it there. I just wouldn't say, hey, you know what? Tua's got concussions. Hey, Tua, we're going to pay you, but just sit it out this season, and Tom's going to be the starter from day one. I don't think that would work out. I don't.
Yeah, hey, Tua, we want you to retire for a year.
Yes, yes.
Tom can come play, and then
correct.
You unretire and come back into the fold. No, it's not going to go that way. I you know, it's really interesting, and I don't know what Miami would be able to do in terms of being able to actually acquire Lamar. But would you agree that the Dolphins go to favorites in the East with Lamar, or do you think that would still be the Bills' position?
Boy, that would get really tough. It really would be, because if you're looking just at momentum, and sometimes that's the way the betting public looks at it too and pushes those lines around by just flooding the market. Like, Buffalo feels like the peak of Buffalo Bills fandom probably was last summer, right? This is the year. They're built for it, and they showed it early on. Like, wow, this team is going to be really good. They didn't get it done. So this year, everybody's going like, all right, well, you didn't make major piece changes here, and the rest of the division got tougher. All right, we still think the Bills are good, but I do think if you get Lamar Jackson and go, hold on now, Lamar in that offense, who's stopping them? They probably would be the hot ticket in the East.
Would Brady put the Dolphins in front of the Jets and Rodgers?
That's a tough one. I would say yes. Actually, I actually think the Dolphins are better than the Jets. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But because the Jets are in front of them now with two.
Yeah. Yeah. I would probably say from a betting perspective where the money would come in, yes. I think people would get all geeked up. Because I'm ready to go in the Dolphins. I'm ready. Like, if it was one of those things where Aaron Rodgers, like, you know what? You know, all the talk in the offseason was me just going to the Dolphins. Like, Aaron Rodgers to the Dolphins would set off, like, alarm bells for me. The Jets are good, but they're not upper-end talent like the Dolphins have for me. Like, if Aaron Rodgers gets plugged in with the Jets, I go, hey, it's a nice wide receiving crew, a little bit young. I like the things they're doing, a good defense. And I'm excited because I do think that if Aaron Rodgers just plays like he's supposed to, not great, not just give me Aaron Rodgers what I think I'm going to get. They double-digit win and they get to the playoffs, which is the goal. But if you turn that into the Dolphins and go, just give me regular Aaron Rodgers with that offense, man, that'd be a tough ticket. It really would be.
I think basically my counter to you would be the Jets have a better defense than the Dolphins. And no, they don't have a Tyreek Hill.
But I like that Dolphins defense now. Ramsey's over there. Xavier Howard on the other side, an awesome D-line. Yeah, like, it's not like we're talking about the Kansas City defense compared to the Jets. Like, I do think it's comparable. Like, they're both have really talented defenses for me.
And this
Vic Fangio, your boys down there now? Woo!
But this is also why Buffalo's going to, you know, be at this plus price now, right? The Bills are experiencing what the Chiefs did last year, where it's like, oh, everybody in the division is kind of trying to ante up, and then the Pats. So you've got this thing where if everyone's trying to get better, someone's going to have to come back and fold here, and it very well could be Buffalo.
Yeah. Keep it in the betting markets, a little NFL. We'll switch it over and talk some NBA and some Major League Baseball. I want to hear from K-Dub here on the draft. Who's the faller? Who's dropping out of the top 10 that we thought would go high? Come on back with us. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mock drafts. Everybody likes to talk about them. Except me, typically, but I do find some things interesting at times here. I would never do a mock draft, and shout out to the people who do put out mock drafts as if, you know, oh, 1.0, 1.2, you know, mock draft 3, 4, 5. Okay, man. Hey, by the way, big mover. Just moved Matthew Bergeron up two spots. I know. I wouldn't do them. I just think it's like, hey, man, my fantasy team. People go, well, nobody cares about your fantasy team. Same thing as a mock draft, but sometimes it's good, though.
Go ahead. I just want to just quickly comment on that. I have no use for mock drafts. No use in terms of what you would do if you were the GM. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. I care about what's going to happen. But that's the betting angle of it probably. But to that, you're totally right. No care. I do not care what you would do if you were the Eagle GM. You're not.
Now, having said that here, I do find this interesting because you can date this 20 years ago, the Aaron Rodgers draft along with Alex Smith. The question on the board was, who was San Francisco going to take? 50-50, literally right up till the day they drafted, it went Alex Smith. And Aaron Rodgers dropped to the end of the first round. And the Packers, rightfully so, with a great move, go, I understand we have one of the better quarterbacks in the game getting a little bit older. But we got like a number one grade on this quarterback who is still here. We're going to take him. Worked out well for the Packers. Got him a Super Bowl. Probably should have got him three or four more. But that's another story with the Packers and what they actually were doing for Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I'm looking at Will Brinson's draft here at CBS. Now, pick one, Bryce Young. Pick two, Will Anderson. Pick three, Tyree Wilson. Mm-hmm. Pick four, Will Levis. Mm-hmm. So you say, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. Will Levis four to the Colts. Jalen Carter, 5, to the Seahawks. Devin Witherspoon, pick 6, to the Lions. Peter Skoronski goes number 7 to the Raiders. Christian Gonzalez, cornerback, goes number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. Drew Sanders, linebacker from Arkansas, goes to the Bears. Brian Branch, safety, to the Eagles. See where I'm going here? Out of the top 10, C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. So that is the scenario that plays out. If Houston skips on quarterback and these other teams don't feel desperate to move up, those are your fallers. And yeah. What's really difficult, though, about this, Donnie, to kind of attack the front end of it is, are we sure the Colts are draft? Because you, again, it's funny. I know you don't like the draft. But you did. You mentioned something that I absolutely loved the other day. Do the Colts actually like Will Levis? Or do they just think the other three guys were going to be off the board by the time they got on the clock and they wanted to let their fan base know, get ready for Will Levis?
Yeah.
Because this notion, that Will Brinson mock, if I would have told you a month ago, hey, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis are on the board, Colts are on the board, Colts take Will Levis, what are you talking about here? No, yeah. They didn't. No way.
Yeah.
No way the Colts went and took Will Levis over those guys. And the idea, though, was, oh, well, they're not going to be on the board. For a long time, you know, it was Bryce and CJ as the favorites to go 1-2 in whatever order, and Richardson was the favorite to go third. So, of course, the Colts were drafting Will Levis here. So that's already, I think, one of the kind of question marks there, because you talk about who could be the faller, Donnie. Let's just say that draft plays out, but the Colts go CJ at 4. You know who's not been linked, or Will Levis has not been linked to any team other than the Colts?
Yeah, it's true.
Nobody else might like Will Levis, and then that's how you get not just the, oh, he went 12, pick 29, the Texans traded back into the first round and took this kid.
Here we go. How about this? Ready for this? Pick 18, Bijan Robinson. Pick 20, Jahmyr Gibbs.
You know, are you sure? Is it really plus 350? Let me try and pull it up. I know you probably have it up there as well. Is that really what it is right now for there to be multiple running backs?
It was. I was looking at it yesterday. I think it was either going over by myself on the radio or I was talking to Joe Ranieri about it. Is it still that? It's
yeah,
a big number here with two legitimate running backs. It's just a philosophy. It only takes one, or in this case, right, two teams. Do you see what I mean? To just buy into what they can. And again, yeah, the thing that makes me laugh here is the two teams that he has selected. I'm just looking at Will Brinson's here. Bijan Robinson to Detroit. Love running backs in Detroit. And then pick 20, Seattle Seahawks. I mean, never turned down a running back in their life. So it does make me laugh when I see those two teams going, ooh, if this guy's on the board, we would love to have him.
Yeah, the thing is, I think when you get big, so running backs going in the opening round, obviously there's been a big change. But also, we're not that far removed from running backs being selected inside the top 10.
Yeah.
The notion that running backs don't necessarily go in round one is a little extreme. Again, when an elite back enters, they'll go in the first round. Najee Harris went in the first round. Who were your rookie running backs of this past year? Were there any elite backs that were like rookies?
The kid from Seattle. Well, it was from Michigan State. What's the name's escaping
Kenneth
me?
Kenneth Walker.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kenneth Walker, but he didn't go in round one. I don't think he did. But Kenneth Walker is not Bijan Robinson, is not Jahmyr Gibbs, in my opinion, at least. So I just think you're looking at kind of guys here that, and I'm trying to find a Jahmyr Gibbs like over under draft position here, but they don't seem to have these necessarily.
Yeah. Market though.
Yeah, no, they're really fun to get involved with here. I don't really see. I would almost be surprised if they didn't go, because wouldn't you agree with this, Donnie? Bijan's a lock to go in the first round. So you're really just getting plus 350 on Jahmyr Gibbs to go in round one? That feels like really good value.
Like, we really get ramped up at like the end of like round one. Now, the reason why, now hear me out on this too. When you take a quarterback, and if you take a running back as well, the reason I'm bringing up those two positions, the extendable guys, right? How long do you have complete control? First-round picks are 5 full years. Second-round picks are 4 years. That's why you see teams sneak up and take that quarterback at like 28, 29, or 30 because they want full control over that guy and the option to have the fifth year where it's not like, hey, man, he's already a free agent. We got to break the bank for the guy. Same thing with a running back. Like if you get a really good running back yourself, let's just say it's Bijan, you can use him up for 5 full years and then decide, like, well, what's the market? What are you worth? Well, thanks for the 5 years, and we'll just do this again. As opposed to if you get, like, what's the difference, Kevin? Hey, you know what? Gibbs is great value at 36. No, he's actually better value at 30, technically.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said, by the way, to have we gone too far on the running back thing, at least in the draft, where, hey, just get your running back in round 3, get your running back in round 4, get your running back in round 5. Let's use Jahmyr Gibbs, whose draft range is, as you're kind of saying here, maybe anywhere from 25 to 40. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs is like a guarantee to be a very good football player for at least 4 to 6 years.
Yeah.
How many guys are getting drafted in that range that you can say that of? Like, okay, maybe he doesn't have that long-term outlook of everyone, and I know you want to swing for all these guys that play for 10 plus years, but how reasonable is that? There has to be something to the idea that Bijan Robinson, Bijan Robinson to make a Pro Bowl minus a thousand. Is that,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's the Pro Bowl, right? But like, there's no way Bijan doesn't make a Pro Bowl realistically, to me at least.
And also, you're trying to take a look and quantify who picks him, right? Because the reason, like, Bijan, and you see some things like overall talent. He's a top 5 in this draft, talent-wise, like a game changer. But it's also the teams that are drafting him. Like, if you are not a good football team, that's why you draft in the top 10. You take a running back. It's like, now we're doing this a little bit backwards. Like, again, the thought process is you can turn around pretty quickly in the NFL, but what is actually going to happen here? When in 3 to 4 years, then, okay, leg injury kicks up, wear and tear, or you're not good, and you say, well, we wasted it. We wasted his best years. The reason why it always pops up with a good team, like the Eagles are drafting 10th. They're just in the Super Bowl. It's such a super rare thing, which is why the Eagle fans and everybody's saying to themselves, oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? Like, what's actually going to take place here? Because you're not supposed to have that player in that position for you to draft when you're that good of a football team. And that's how you try. It's hard to quantify a running back, which is why when the Chiefs did it a couple years ago and took Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it was like, well, yeah, we're really good, and we had a high grade on this guy. We're late first round. This is a luxury pick for us. That's what the Eagles actually have at 10. That's a luxury pick.
Yeah, I just think 10 is still too high. Yeah. For a running back, I really do. Isn't it? Saquon Barkley went second in that draft. And the Giants, like, they weren't set at quarterback. It was a quarterback draft. It's just unimaginable that that's what the Giants did there. I still think 10 is too high for a running back. But it is. And look, the Eagles are really interesting. Right now, if you had to guess, do the Eagles trade up or pick at that spot at 10?
Oh, I'm going to
trade up. I meant trade back.
Like, get out of the pick. Like,
yes.
I would say right now, it's 60-40 they get out of the pick, which is really going to get on my nerves. It is.
You hate it.
I will never understand, unless you are a horrendous football team that goes, we're 3 years away from competing. Let's keep kicking the can down the road. Good football teams that think they can win a championship never should be trading out of the first round because that's a true impact player. Like, if the Eagles do one of these, Kevin, we think the draft is really stacked with cornerbacks. We trade it away for, you know, 2 seconds and 2/3. I will lose my mind because you can actually get an impact player to start for you immediately on a Super Bowl-ready team. I don't need the backup guard in the second round. I don't need it.
So, and do you think that's part of the reason the Philly faithful won't be? Because if they do sit there at 10, they're still going to end up taking a kid that's not supposed to start this year.
Correct. Oh, Peter Skoronski. The argument is he's going to be a good offensive lineman, but he might not even play this year. And you say, why did we do that? First round picks are supposed to be starters immediately, even on Super Bowl caliber teams. Hey, we'll be back. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Back at it here. Let's get some fun. Let's get some picks. Let's do some damage here. Three games in the NBA tonight, K-Dub. Sixers, Nets, Kings, Warriors, Suns, and Clippers. Current lines here. Just looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Sixers, 4.5 favorites. Golden State Warriors, 6-point favorites. And the Phoenix Suns, a 3.5-point favorite. Some outlets showing 4 there. If you look at the high numbers, I guess, 6.5 in the Warriors game, and the Philadelphia 76ers looks like basically 4.5 across the board. Some food for thought there. But before we do that, let's get to the phone lines. 844-843-6879. Moose, come on in here. Get in here. Let's have some fun on a Thursday. What do you got?
Gentlemen, how are you? I tell you what,
hello,
Kevin, I can't.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Come on.
All right, you know what?
I love it.
All right, DRS, my gloves are off on you, buddy. That was good. Okay, so let's bring some heat. I'm going to bring the heat now. All right.
Let's go.
So, hey, Kevin, I couldn't agree with you more about the running backs. And what I'm going to kind of track and do a little bit of homework is see what the running backs are coming out of the MAC. Because if my memory serves me right, Kareem Hunt came out of the MAC.
Yeah.
I think Chubb coming out of Georgia, he was down the ladder as well. He was not a first round pick as a running back. So I'm totally on board with your guys' train of thought. And you guys made me some money last night. I appreciate that. And then let's bring the heat with the griddle. All right, that Blackstone, right, DRS? Okay, so
yes.
What you need to do is to go onto Amazon and you want to look for a specific spatula, okay, for cheesesteaks. If you turn it on its side, it kind of looks like a dog leg. So it doesn't look like your typical spatula. And the tongue on that spatula is probably about 8 inches. So you could pick up the entire cheesesteak and just put it right on that bun. And then, as always, okay, I'm sitting there having a cold one off the back of my deck because my vacation starts today. Tomorrow, I'm bringing the heat.
Ooh.
I'm bringing the heat for that man up north. And I'm going to call in for that man up north because I'll be down in Tampa, Florida, getting ready to go to Yankee Town, go fishing. And I'm going to throw some pictures up there. I'm going to throw them out to JP. So, my buddy up north, I hope you're staying cold because I'm going to be in 85-degree weather, pair of shorts, catching fish, drinking cold ones. It's on.
There you go.
Boys, have a good
there
day. See ya. I'm out of here.
There it is. Came with the fire.
Oh,
came with the fire there. By the way, ingredients for the flat top grill and accessories, I got it all. I got it all. You know me, K-Dub. I don't mess around. Yeah, we're ready to go. Like today, smash burgers for the first time today on the Blackstone. I can't wait.
We have had now, I guess this is like the second conversation about grilling.
Yeah.
And I already know there's no one I trust more, maybe in this world, to grill than Donnie Wrightside.
Yeah.
When you're serious about something, you're serious about it.
Yes.
And clearly, grilling to whatever degree is one of them, is what I'm picking up here.
Yes, and I told you, you laugh through at this, but I am the type of guy, dead serious here. Because I have a certain, I won't say wavelength, I have a certain interest in, I like good grilling. And I'm not telling people, I am a chef on the grill, I am a mastermind. I love steak. I love to grill steak. I love to grill cheeseburgers. And over the years, your tastes sort of change where it's like, hey, once you've had something that's really good, you don't want to go the other way. Meaning, Back when you're in high school or college and, hey, they don't get the Bubba Burgers, frozen hockey pucks, and throw them on the grill. Hey, those taste good. Well, when you make your own, meaning like get the ground beef or get it from the butcher and season it up a little bit, make a giant fat patty, throw it on there, grill it, and taste it. Like, wow, like that is a cheeseburger. You're never going back to the frozen hockey puck, and that's what I do. So when I see something that can really improve grilling, because I have a Weber grill and I love it, I'm going to keep it because I love steaks. But I bought this flat-top grill because I want to experience like the, you know, better version to the chicken and the smash burgers. Like, I take that serious. Like, I went out today. Yesterday, the grill came, put it together, seasoned it, took like a half hour, got it all ready to go. After the show this morning, went out to the food store, got everything I need to make smash burgers, and that's going to be my first go-around tonight. It's going to be some trial. It's going to be some error. I get that. But I'm excited. Like, I take pride in grilling where if somebody eats, like, you know what? That's really good. Not like, man, do you even have propane? Like, what's going on over there? Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to be set.
All right, I'm going to ask the question. Maybe some of our audience need this to be asked, or yes. Maybe it's for me.
Go.
What exactly is, like, I've heard the phrase many times.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is a smash burger? Is it just that you smash it and I don't understand?
Pretty much, really. Yes. It's let's just say you have your normal cheeseburger. Like, go to the frozen hockey puck. You get it out of the fridge. Hey, look at this thing. The smash burger is you take it and you make a ground beef into a small bowl.
Yeah.
You take the thing with the little circular. Mine is actually more of like a rectangle. The burger goes down on the hot griddle. You smash it down for about 10 to 15 seconds. And what the design is, like, if you did that on a grill, well, yeah, you'd smash it down. But all the juices would then go to the bottom of the grill and go to the catch because you're not cooking in it. A smash burger, basically, is you put the beef on the grill, you smash it down, but it cooks in its own juices, and it's really flat. Like, anybody that's going to like a Five Guys, some of the better burger joints, most of those are smash burgers because they're cooked in their own juices on the flat top. Gives you a little bit more flavor out of it. That's what I'm excited for.
All right. Look, sounds good. Sounds like you've got something cooking there. I'm excited for you. But can I just quickly?
Yes.
And I know you play bits, but I swear the first time you did that, hello?
It's good.
I swear the first time you did that, you tried to say that it was normal. And I know that now you're just kind of like running the tally up on it. But you know that that is a total bait to the caller.
But
right?
Hope, I'm going to be dead honest with the one that's just around. Now, sometimes I like to be me, which is, you know, have some fun and, you know, the joke's not on me, it's on who's ever calling or whatever. To be honest with you, that was almost just like a response that I was doing. Because to be honest, when I brought Moose on, I started to read something on Twitter. And it was just one of those things like, you know, sometimes somebody calls like, yo, hey, what's up? Yeah, that was basically just a response to stay engaged where I heard you laugh and I go, did I just do that again? Because it sounded like a bit that I was running on Moose.
Yes,
because
sir.
I know Moose would be like, can you hear me? And once it happened, I was starting to laugh to myself too. But honestly, that was not a pre-planned thing where I wanted Moose to be like, hello, am I actually on? That just came out of my mouth to stay engaged as I was trying to read something quickly while I was bringing him on the air, which is even better.
Man, look, it plays. I know the phone lines are hot, though.
Yeah, they are. Let's go. 844-843-6879. The X-Man is calling. By the way, you know who X-Man's mad at? LeBron James. X-Man, tell K-Dub why we're mad at LeBron James today. Just tell him.
Well, he came up 2 points short for me, man. He messed up a perfect five-leg parlay. I could have had $550.
Look
only
at that,
put
LeBron.
$8 up, but I'm back tonight.
There you go. What do we got? I need to hear it. Yeah, I need to hear it.
I'm going with Tatis and the Padres on the money line.
Oof.
And then we got
Tatis is back tonight.
Vegas Golden Knights on the money line.
Okay.
Tyrese Maxey to get 20 points. And Sacramento Kings. Shaq Kings.
Oh, boy.
To go up 3-0. It's over for Golden State. No more championships. They're good. It's a new day.
What's that price? Give me it.
16-1.
Oh, there
That's
we go.
A question.
That's great. By the way, the Maxi play, I mean, golden. Golden. Golden out there for X-Man. Maxi.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Beautiful.
Keep rolling? Keep rolling with the phone lines? Let's go. Jordan from Phoenix. Let's get in here on a Thursday. Now, me and Jordan, K-Dub, we rally the valley over on this side. So let's get after it, Jordan. What do you got?
You know what it is, Donnie. Let's rally the valley tonight in L.A. Let's go.
Yes.
I got the Boston Red Sox on the money line this morning.
Oh, winning.
I think last I seen they were up 3-0. I'm not sure how that's going still. But and then let's see. Last night, too, I did a Stars and a Oilers parlay. Turned to some plus money. I told you yesterday the RBI, the RBI one. So let's keep these winners going tonight. X-Man just hit on San Diego. I'm on San Diego. K-Dub, Donnie, have a good day. Best show on the sports grid. Let's go.
There it is. There it is. He knows. Yeah, we're rallying the valley tonight, K-Dub. We have to stay. Since, you know what? I've vested interest here. You know I don't like the Bucks. I like the Bucks now. Why? Because I'm invested in them a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a huge Suns guy here. But I can get down with hashtag rally the valley right now. Like, I'm getting down on it.
No, see, now I'm trying to think. Now I'm trying to think, actually, right? So, Giannis is a guy that you're like, I can't.
I hate him. Stop. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
That's
a
strong word, man. It's a strong word.
Yeah. But I don't know him personally, but I just hate him. So,
LeBron, I, like, can't. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron is simply just, it depends on the audience and what will make you laugh. I really think is the entirety of your LeBron take.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you think of Kevin Durant. Honestly, I don't know if you have a big...
I don't mind Kevin Durant. Yeah, I'm almost neutral to Kevin Durant. Now, there's two sides to it, too, because I am a LeBron guy. Because granted, I don't knock LeBron because I think he's an unbelievable basketball player. And to be honest, I think he's the most talented basketball player the NBA has ever seen. I don't care if you think somebody else is better. Like, you give me LeBron, like, your first pick overall all time, it's going to be LeBron James for me. But having said that, I'm more of a LeBron guy. Because, again, this is me. Like, I grew up in South Jersey. And in 5th, 6th, and 7th grade, if you would have took a poll of the 20 kids in my class, their favorite player 18 would have been, you know, Michael Jordan. And it was Charles. Like, I got so upset by that. Like, you're not supposed, like, I was already ingrained as a fan as I should be. I'm a Sixers fan. I can't stand the Bulls. But everybody else in the class loved Michael Jordan. And that's why I sort of relayed over why I'm such a LeBron stan sometimes, because of my hatred towards Jordan. Now, if I love Jordan, I would probably run you up a wall here. But I mean, LeBron can't hold Jordan. Blah, blah. But I'm the opposite way overboard because of my disdain for Michael Jordan. Now, getting back to a quick betting anecdote here, Kevin. You know me. I don't like the Bucks. I don't like Giannis. Now, hold on, Don. You put a bet on. See, that's where you have to separate your hatred for what actually makes sense in sports gambling. It's like rule number one. Once you can finally do that and say, I'll never bet the Bucks because I can't root for them. No. I actually think the Bucks are the best team in the NBA, and I think there's a legit chance they can win, so I bet money on it. That's why you say, Donnie, who's your bet? Oh, let me guess. The Sixers, 9-1 to win the NBA championship. Not a chance. Not a chance.
No, yeah, you got to be able to take the value. And look, this is why. Like, I had the Lakers, Donnie, at 32-1 to win the West.
Mm-hmm.
But that's different. They're not 32-1 the West. Like, I can't. If they were 32-1 to win the West, you and I would do a whole bunch of shows talking about all the value that is, right?
Yes.
But who am I helping screaming, saying, look, I'm just telling you right now, you got to go out there and you got to bet. Like, it doesn't do anything for anybody type of thing. So, look, I think there's... a lot to be said about this futures market there, and you try and remove yourself because it is such a wide open class. Really, really open.
There it is. One more segment to go before triple header NBA action, Major League Baseball, hockey all gets underway. We're going to give out some picks, maybe some same game parlays. Come on back with us. It's Moneyline on a Thursday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for a Thursday here on Moneyline. Awesome stuff today. Great callers. having fun, but we want to give out some winners. We've been doing same game parlays here on the early line, and as always, like to recap them at the end of the day. For me, my same game parlay, three legs, Suns minus 2.5, which is now 3.5. Kawhi Leonard and Devin Booker, both to get 25 or more points tonight. That pays out at a plus 218 price. Now, I am going to have, and I don't have the exact lineups, there's a lot of really good RBI shots tonight from some of these games. Now, we didn't get to go over them game by game, line by line, but it's the four games later tonight. Colorado-Philadelphia, Dodgers-Cubs, San Diego-Arizona, and Mets-San Francisco. Now, Mets-San Francisco, not as much, but we do get, you know, I think it was Jordan, I guess, that called in with Tatis tonight. He's back in San Diego's lineup. That's going to be fun to watch, and they could do some damage with a lot of runs there. I still actually like Arizona's lineup better than San Diego's going up against Waka, but there are a couple lefties in the lineup tonight that I really like for the Dodgers. So a couple games to keep an eye on, but that same game probably I'll go with that. If we're going just NBA action straight up, I think the Sixers win in cover. I do. I think the Warriors win in cover, and I think the Phoenix Suns win in cover tonight. That's where I'm going there. JP, let them know.
Yeah, I'm taking the Kings on the money line.
All right, there you go. And what do you got, K-Dub? Two night.
Yeah, look, ultimately, I've decided to try, you know, what you've always talked about, right? Just pick one and live with it kind of deal. Over 2.5 made threes, James Harden is the bet there. He has been excellent on volume, and the volume has been there because getting to the rim has just been a little bit more difficult for Harden. So that number is 2.5 in games where he takes at least 7. I'll give you the low end of it. 31-7 to the over. That's better than 80% here. So we're going to rock with Harden tonight.
There you go. So we got a lot of stuff going down. Good stuff on the ice tonight. I wish we were ice guys. But I got to tell you, like, I'm probably not going to watch much of it, but I will actually be checking the scores of the Toronto game because I do think that's interesting. And then for the rest of the way, it's, I don't know, rooting against the Bruins? That's what the hope and the fun that we're having at this point now. A lot could change, but another action-packed show on a Thursday. We'll be back on a Friday to cap everything off, and a lot of good stuff again going on tomorrow. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Kevin Walsh, Johnny Rightside, this is Moneyline on the Grid. We'll be back tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.